Ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation.
Ay bobo.
Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Konekife. For today's episode, the prompt is, what is a loa, or what is a spirit in Haitian voodoo? Before we jump into today's topic, let's take a moment and ground ourselves with breath and prayer. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale hope. And exhale fear. Inhale peace. And exhale worry. Inhale faith and exhale lack. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to all of our ancestors. Thank you for bringing us together, both near and far. We are asking for your support and guidance in this moment. Thank you for the wisdom and the ongoing learning journey that we are all collectively on. We are giving gratitude and thanks to all of the ancestors of all of the people receiving the messages of this episode right now. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects all of us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the moment to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with love, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and our minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance that needs to be shared is shared and understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons need to be learned, be learned. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo asao, alaso, aoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa sen bo. So the prompt for today's episode, what is Aloha? What is a spirit? We spent a bulk of the episode of Across the Season, this first season of Agua Cerrito, talking about the Aloha's. But what exactly are they? So to kick this off, it is complicated. Luas are very powerful entities with distinct personalities. And I'm going to use the term with distinct energetic signatures. And I'll come back to that term in a moment. But they're not gods in the Western sense. So sometimes we'll see in a Western lens when a religious system is... let's say polytheistic in nature, or, you know, in the sense of Haitian Vodou, which is more henotheistic. And again, for listeners listening to the show for the first time, we talked about this in, I believe it was episode 3, where we said Haitian Vodou is henotheistic in the fact that there is one supreme God and the belief that there are intermediary spirits or laws. And so in the Western sense, sometimes those intermediaries are considered lesser gods. In the Haitian Vodou cosmology, though, they are not considered lesser gods. They are entities called Luas or spirit. We recognize that, again, there is a supreme being, which in Haitian Vodou is called Gamet, or sometimes called Bunje. And that there are numerous spiritual forces that facilitate communication with the supreme being. And these laws facilitate communication between not only the supreme being, but also in day-to-day matters with humans on the earthly realm, as well as connecting with our ancestors in the underworld, in the ancestral realm. And so laws or spirits, the laws of Vodou are not quote unquote good or evil in a westernized sense. They are simply energies of nature. Laws are energies of our ancestor, and they each embody different aspects of existence, different aspects of the human journey, different aspects of nature. So for example, people have heard of Papa Legba. Papa Legba governs the gate, So he is at the gate, at the gate between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And therefore, he also governs communications. But Papa Legba himself is not neither good or bad. He facilitates communication, right? Another example could be Ezili Danta. So Ezili Danta, she is known to be a fierce protector of women and children, right? So again, not good or evil, but she can bless or punish depending on the situation at hand. You also have Simbi. So Simbi is another Lwa, is a spirit of knowledge and magic, right? And Simbi can play various different roles, right? Can be a healer, right? So depending on how he is approached. So each specific Lwa has aspects of different parts of human existence, the human experience, different energies of nature, just overall different energetic signatures that are nuanced that they take on. But they are energies. That's exactly what the laws are. They are energies. And like the forces of nature, laws must be respected and they must be honored, right? Not just said as being good or evil. That's not the way. Again, we've talked about, and you can actually take a listen, listeners, to an episode I had earlier on the concept of good and evil, right? And that laws are essentially energies of overall nature. Many laws are deified ancestors. They are deified historical figures or spirits embodying elements of nature, such as earth, water, fire, and air. So it's important to understand that the Lwa's presence links Vodou practitioners to their African heritage, but it also that Lwa's interact with humans, right? And remember, within Haitian Vodou, this idea of reciprocity is super important. So humans are able to, their laws, honor, respect them, continue to give them offerings, connect with them through prayer. And in turn, the laws offer humans protection, guidance, healing, and justice. And laws, they connect and communicate with humans through a series of different ways, whether it's through mounted possession, it's through dreams, it's through visions, it's through rituals. And most importantly, the very essence of Haitian Vodou is practitioners cultivating their personal relationships with the laws of their family lineage. That is an important element, especially when we think about it from a Franc Guinean perspective. That is the lens that we take a look at that. Laws also exist in an evolving living tradition, right? That is community centered. And so laws are not static figures. They are constantly actively engaging with the world. They're engaging with humans. They're engaging with their children, with their devotees, right? That serve them. And I think it's important to put this in perspective. One of the commonly asked questions that we hear people say is like, well, how many laws are there? And it's a very interesting question, because while you may hear only a handful of laws talked about, right, there's a set of like commonly, you know, the most common popular laws. The surface answer to that question of how many laws are there, you sometimes may hear people say there's 101 laws. You sometimes may hear people say there's 201 laws. I've heard people say there's 401 laws. And the common denominator between 101, 201, and 401 is that at the end of each of those numbers, there is the number one. And that number one represents mathematically there being an infinite number, right? Because that number it's an odd number. So it represents an infinite amount, an amount of laws. So every time you add a one or you do something in threes or sevens, there's a representation of infinite from a mathematical perspective, which is the real answer. The real answer is that no one knows the true number of how many laws there are given the law's continued evolving nature with humans, with nature, with the community at large. And I wanna drive this point home. I wanna draw from a passage in the book. The book is called, Vodou in Haiti by Alfred Metuel. And in the book, I'm gonna read what Alfred Metuel says here about this concept of continuous evolvement of laws. So Alfred writes, "The Vodou pantheon is always enriching itself with new mysteries. Some are revealed and imposed upon members of a cult group when a devotee is suddenly possessed by an unknown god who introduces himself, states his name, and demands worship. Others owe their existence to a dream. A man visited by a spirit in a dream hastens to make it the object of a cult. He is an influential and well-known Wunga. This will not be difficult. Sometimes a woman introduces the spirits of her maiden home, her habitation, into her husband's families." And then he further goes on to say that many loa of equally humble beginnings have been promoted from family level to regional level and even to national level. So what is this saying? What was this passage saying? It's important, again, to understand that laws come from a number of different origins. And I'm going to touch on that in a moment, right? However, there are aspects of certain laws, because they were humans that were then transitioned and became ancestors, and then those ancestors can sometimes transition and become elevated, and as an elevated ancestor, they can sometimes reach to the point, their elevation reaches them to the point of elevating into becoming a law. And going back to Vodou being, you know, all about lineage, now some laws will go and remain as part of a family lineage. Others will become elevated, will be served from one lineage to another lineage to multiple lineages. Some laws will eventually elevate even further and be served at a regional level. And then as the author Metro just said, some laws will even be elevated once again to become national, right? So it shows that even in as an energetic signature, there is a path, there's an elevation, there's an ascension that takes place, even the energy of the laws and the mistas, right? So that's a really interesting point that the book points out that I wanted to mention on this episode. To switch gears a bit and go back to the point around energetic signatures, right? To fully understand the laws is to understand the energies that they represent. Understanding their energies can sometimes clue into the importance of balance and harmony, particularly with the energetic elements, okay? It's also important to note that laws are not linear, right? Nor absolute in their energetic signature. Each law has the potential to represent various elements. So I just mentioned that we don't know the number of all the laws, right? No one really knows how many laws are out there in the universe. But what I'm also saying is that even if you know of a law that is popular, that represents a particular natural element, it doesn't always mean that that's the only element that that law can represent. Okay, so let me give you a specific example. And we see this time and time again within sometimes the pantheons, which is actually, I'll talk about the pantheons in my next episode. So for example, you may hear of, and I'm going to go back to Legba because I mentioned him earlier, but you may hear about Papa Legba, who is sometimes described as a cool law. He's described as a cool Rada Loa that's part of the Rada Nation, which I will talk about. I'll talk about pantheons and nations, you know, in the next episode. But just go with me here for this example. You may hear about Papa Legba, who's described as a cool Loa on the Rada, in the Rada pantheon, and sometimes associated with the air element, right? And the air element is associated with communications, right? However, there is also there's a hot festation of Papa Legba on what we call the Petro Nation. That hot, fiery version of Papa Legba is now called Legba na Petro. Okay, so yes, you may have heard of Papa Legba, but there's also another version of him called Legba na Petro. It's a hot version, okay? Dumbala is another example, right? Dumbala can represent air, but as a fire element or fire manifestation of Dumbala, that energy is now called Dumbala la Flambeau. So you can see that while every law may not have different manifestations across each element, given that elevated ancestors are constantly being created, there is always a possibility for a new manifestation of a law to become known in a particular family lineage or spiritual community. So this is, and again, I go back to like, this is complicated, right? So understanding that there's infinite number of laws, understanding that each law manifests a specific nuanced energetic signature, but also understanding that those nuanced energetic signatures are not absolutes and nor are they linear, and that laws always have the potential in the future to potentially represent various elements. And this goes back to why it is important that individuals that are practicing Vodou honor and respect each other, because Vodou again is governed at the local level. And even if an individual has a different manifestation of the laws that are nationally known, doesn't mean that how they're serving their laws is incorrect. And I talk about that in that honor and respect episode, check that out. But this goes back to why that is. Okay, so if you missed what I said there, I recommend you stop the podcast episode, rewind it a little bit, and re-listen to this point. Because when we're thinking about the laws, it is important that we deconstruct a westernized lens in how we perceive them in order to truly embrace them and understand who they are showing us that they are, because they're going to tell us who they are as long as we're willing to listen, right? And not impose perspectives or impose any particular assumptions on them, right? Being open-minded to understand and listen and learn is critical to becoming a successful practitioner of this particular faith tradition. So let's take a break. I want to take a break for a moment. We'll come back, and then I want to talk more about the nature elements and how they could be represented with the laws. Ma che la nuit ça ma che la joue la sirène ma l'arrivé moi on service de gagner ma beau la sirène oh on service de gagner ma beau la sirène oh ma elle la sirène oh ma elle la sirène oh garde ma che la nuit oh ma l'arrivé oui ma che la nuit oh ma che ça. Enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacerito@gmail.com. That's aguacerito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacerito.com. For more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. So, you know, we just wrapped up and talked a little bit about the fact that the laws are energetic signatures, right? The laws are spirits and they represent various aspects of human existence. They represent aspects of nature. And I think in order to continually to understand the laws, because I find that the laws have been in my life, my entire life, and I'm still learning about them, right? I know aspects of them very well, but there's aspects of them I'm still learning. I'm still building my relationships with them. And I find that being able to understand the laws more is being able on an adjacent level to understand the elements. And so in that spirit, I want to share some elements of each of, when I say elements, then I'm talking about the nature's elements. So I want to take a moment and talk about the fire element. I want to talk about the water element. I want to talk about air. I want to talk about earth. So I want to talk about each of these elements in adjacent to this conversation and talk about the characteristics of each of these elements, in that they're going to help create a grounding so that while, yes, each law is a nuanced representation of the element that they represent, understanding the elements can be a bit of grounding that you can lean on or begin the conversation of understanding the various different laws. So it might not be that every single fire law represents every single characteristic I'm going to say, for example. However, it's going to give you an idea of what it could potentially encompass as a jumping off point, if you will. Okay. So I'm going to start with, I mentioned fire. I'm going to go ahead and start with the fire element. So I think this is well known. Fire is considered a warrior, right? So any law that has a fire element to it, there is a warrior, you know, think about the warrior archetype, okay? A warrior, and fire is passionate, right? Fire has a strong willpower, is very brave, very confident, right? Fire is a very powerful element. When you think about fire has the power to transform things. Think about if you were to take something and put it into like a burning, into like an oven or burning, like wood area. Fire has the power to transform things, to melt things, to put things together, right? It is in fire's nature to fight, right? To try to change and burn what's around it. And if left untapped, if left without any control, fire can become very dangerous, right? The human energy is based on fire. So when you think about when people talk about, you know, there's the heat inside of us, right? Even our temperature, our body temperature has to be of a certain degree, right? That produces heat, right? And if not, if our body goes cold, we also lose the breath of life. So fire is not only an element that, you know, that encompasses all these things, it's also the light of human energy. Leaders tend to have a strong fire element, because when you think about most leaders, natural born leaders, or people that are in leadership positions, they need confidence. They need willpower to make decisions, to inspire, to tell others what to do. Right, fire is always in the front when it comes to a battle. That all leaders need to have a sense of that fire, that spark, in order to lead from a place of confidence. Right, fire likes to talk about goals, futures, purpose, and some of the roles of fire element that has fire elements in it that we see manifest in terms of people, in terms of archetypes. We see roles like lawyers, managers, people that are CEOs, people that are politicians, people that are judges, people that may be kings or queens, directors, police, military, actors, singers, any job that has power to tell people what to do is considered a fire element, right? A fire archetype. The fire element likes goals, right? They're responsible for the direction or order. They like to have purpose. They like to have something to fight for. They usually are fighting. Usually they like to fight to achieve things. They like challenge and competition. They like to be respected by others. They like to lead from the front, right? So fire likes to have the power to change everyone and everything. And so understanding that as an element and some of the characteristics of that element can clue you in. If you hear that a law is a fire element, you have an idea. It may not be exactly for that specific law, because again, laws have, you know, sometimes nuanced archetypes, but it gives you a sense of what potential type of archetype that you are dealing with energetically. So if we move on and I talk about the water element, right? So water, so fire was a warrior. Think of water like the lover. So water is an opposite of fire, right? So a water element is all about love. It's all about accepting and serving others. Water is very gentle, but yet very powerful, because think about it. Everything in life is sustained by water. Right? Or is water? Our bodies are made mostly up of water. We can go days without eating, but we cannot go a day without drinking water. So water supports life. Water preserves things. Water brings a sense of cleanliness, right? It helps purify any negativities that happens. Water can be emotional. Water is compassionate and manifests love through feelings. Water loves to serve and care for other people. And water is not about leading, but more about enjoying the small things, about serving other people, about being adaptable. And water is a really interesting element in that, in and of itself, it can transform into any particular state. Let's just say physical state, right? You can, a water can, if it's too cold, it becomes ice. If it's too warm, it becomes water. If after a while, if it becomes even warmer, it can boil, right? Water can be snow, water can be clouds, water can be river, water can be as vast as the ocean. So whether it's big or small, in any sort of state, water is adaptable, right? Water is very relaxed and surrenders to least resistance. Water accepts things as they are and how they should be in relationships. Water is humble and grateful. Water always says thank you. Water is, like I mentioned, is a lover, likes to think about the past, think about people and relationships. And roles that are associated with water are roles like teachers, elderly care, working with plants and animals, maybe in that water type of space, right? The best way to balance water is to serve others with love. So again, there are a number of laws that we are going to talk about that are of water element. So you have a sense just from hearing about water as an energetic signature and there being nuanced iterations of that. Now, can water get angry? Absolutely, right? So it's not that even though you hear that, you know, water is love and light and caring, but water can be mad. And remember, water boils when it's mad and water can be very dangerous. So keep that in mind as well. Now I want to talk about the air element. So the air element, we talked about fire is a warrior and water is a lover. Air is a thinker, okay? So air, they like to explore, like to analyze things, likes to travel. They find it hard to be still because they have a challenge staying focused and concentrating. Air is all about intellect. Air is about freedom in the air, right? So freedom in thinking, freedom in traveling, the freedom to explore, meditation and mindfulness. It can be helpful for an air to really kind of connect into the air element. Wisdom is aspects of the air element. And sometimes if we don't know how to fix a problem or solve a problem, but we just need to accept it, right? Accept things as they are. Know that when we're thinking about air, we're thinking about thoughts, feelings, and actions before making a conclusion, being aware of your intuition. So some air element roles can be things like a professor, a writer, a journalist, scientists, philosophers, researchers, freelancers, digital nomads, right? Air, again, they're thinkers. They like to ask questions. They like to meditate on the answer. They like to talk about culture. They love to learn about history. They love knowledge. They're constantly insatiable. They have an insatiable appetite for knowledge and learning and growing, okay? So that's essentially the air element. So if you come across a law that has an air element, chances are it may have attributes of these archetypes. And lastly, the earth element, right? We said the fire is warrior, the water is lover, the air is a thinker, earth is a doer, okay? So an earth element is simple, it's practical, grounded, reliable, thinks about things that's needed to survive, right? And earth represents all of the solid materials across the world, whether we're talking about the soil on the ground, we're talking about clothes, fabric, different objects, anything that represents materials. I think about crystals sometimes as an earth element. Earth element is hard, doesn't like to move or change, and it's really opposite of the air, right? It can create things from the earth. So an earth element can also be very creative, right? An earth element, they create things that are useful and possess materials. So earth represents the physical level. So job, house, food, and family are important aspects of earth. And earth, again, is all about doing. They may not talk a lot. They like to do a lot of things, right? They like to stay home and think about like the home life, thinking about gardening. Some really great, great earth element jobs are things like stone masonry, agriculture, pottery, carpentry, and cooking are just aspects of different earth elements. So I share all of these to share that understanding the different elements of nature gives you an idea of different types of laws, right? So if we talk about some of the ones I just mentioned, I'm gonna just kind of scroll through the list of the different elements I just talked about, and I'm gonna just mention off top some of the laws that represent these elements. And what I'd like to do when we talk about the laws in our next season, we're gonna spend the entire next season unpacking each of the major laws. What we will do is we're going to share which element that they represent, right? And that will give you an idea. You can always tune back into this episode and get an idea of like, what does that element encompass or embody? Okay, but just to give you a sense, so I talked about fire element, the warrior. So automatically, when I think about the warrior, I think about the Nago laws, right? The Nago is a nation we'll talk about in the next episode. But Nago laws are like Ogu, and there's a whole pantheon of Ogu laws that represent fire. The Petro laws also represent fire, and Petro laws are the laws that the nation of laws that were instrumental in the fight for Haiti's freedom. And they also, many of them represent fire element as well. When we think about the water element, you know, I think about many of the what we call the Rada laws are on the water, kind of the water elements, what we call cool spirits at times, that they're called both air and water, sometimes called cool spirits. But when we think about water, I think about, you know, Met Agwe. Agwe is the king of the sea. So we think about him. I think about La Sirene. She is the mermaid, right? The mermaid spirit of the ocean. When I think about Ezili Freda, she is a lover, really aspects of a water law. There are many, many other laws, even on the hot side. So remember I talked about water can also be boiling, right? On the hot side, on the Petro side, there are also water laws as well. So it's very interesting that there's not just a linear or an absolute, there are mix and again, iterations across elements. When we think about air, I think I mentioned air, Dumbala comes to mind. I've talked about Papa Legba comes to mind as well, in terms of air, you know, laws that represent the air element. And then lastly, when I think about the earth law, the earth element, I think about like Kuzin Zaka, who is the law of agriculture, the law of business, the law of family, which we're going to talk about. So each of these laws, and there's so many, many more. Again, like I said, I can't wait to get into next season where we're going to really dive into all of these various different laws. I think that's going to be critically important. So we're going to take one more break. We'll come back and then we'll be able to talk about what a law is not. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacerito@gmail.com. That's aguacerito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacerito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Are you passionate about Haitian voodoo, its history, and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian voodoo and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian voodoo alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSANBA.org to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Desir, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian voodoo cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise. So we took time earlier in today's episode and talked about what a loa is. And again, a loa is an energy of nature, energy of the ancestors, right? So in that same vein, I want to talk about what a loa is not, because of some of the Western narratives that are out there. So first of all, a loa is not a demon or an evil spirit. That is an important not, right? There's been a lot of narratives, right? A lot of colonial narratives, particularly from Christianity, that demonizes loas as satanic or malevolent. And this, again, this comes from the time of enslavement and was a distortion rooted in racist fears of African spiritual power. I've already mentioned, loas are not inherently good or evil. They just embody different forces of existence, just like in many other indigenous spiritual systems. And earlier in the season, we took time and provided a comparative lens into Vodou against many other indigenous spiritual systems. So the loas are not, they're not good or evil, right? They embody nuanced forces of existence, nuanced forces of nature. So what Westernized perspectives call evil spirits are spirits that have a hotter manifestation than the cooler spirits. So remember we talked about in our episode about good and evil, we talked about this you know, in Haitian Vodou, things being cyclical. Instead of thinking of a law as good or evil, think of laws having different levels of an energetic signature. And when I think about what certain Western perspectives may be saying are evil, they're actually laws of a hotter manifestation of the fire element. So the best analogy I can think of in the U.S., there's a popular online show that's called The Hot Ones. And if you're familiar with The Hot Ones, you've probably seen it on YouTube. If you're not, you can YouTube it. But on The Hot Ones, it's a show where different celebrities come and they come on the show and they're answering questions of the host, but they're answering questions while they're eating different chicken wings at various levels of heat, according to the questions. And it goes from they're eating, like, they're answering basic questions and they're eating like mild chicken wings. It's the funniest show. And you see the progression as they go from eating mild to hot to like mega death heat hot wings. And the show is all about you seeing if they can make it to the, you know, from level 1 to level 10 of heat of the chicken wings. So I say that show, and if you haven't checked that show out, listeners, it's really funny to watch the different celebrities and their reactions to eating, you know, eating the different levels of heat on the chicken wings. But I share that because I think that's, to me, the most simplest analogy that I can think of when it comes to various levels of laws with degrees of fire element. There are laws that can be, I say, categorized, right? They can go from, laws could go from cool to hot to fiery hot, right? With different personalities, functions, and traits that are associated to those laws. So for example, some of the hot or extremely hot laws, some of the ones you may hear about are laws like Marinette. You may hear a law called Criminel. You may hear one called Kita. These are three of many other laws. And it is said that many of these fiery hot laws were extremely pivotal during the Haitian Revolution, right? During the fight for Haiti's freedom. So I share that to say that it's not evil or demons in a westernized narrative or westernized lens. Rather, there are laws that go from being cool to hot to fiery hot, and they each carry a different personality, functions, energetic signature associated to them that's neither good nor evil. They are what they are as people use them to be. So having said that, I highly recommend that if someone is new to Vodou or new to, becoming a practitioner, I always say that you should always seek guidance from a very experienced elder, a very experienced priest or priestess, before invoking or attempting to serve hot laws, particularly fiery hot laws. That's really important. Many individuals may have all sorts of different laws of various different fire elements, all the different elements in their quote-unquote spiritual court, because that is a part of their family lineage, and that sometimes does happen. But again, if you find yourself in that situation, make sure to consult with an elder before invoking any particular hotter spirits. Another thing to understand is that laws are not spiritual beings that can be controlled. You cannot control an energy. They are what they are. Also, laws cannot be used simply for personal gain. So if someone's trying to invoke a law just for the sake of just gaining power, for the sake of gaining power, or just for the sake of trying to, gain wealth and riches and that sort of thing, the laws, they're energies, they're divine beings. They, just like any other divine beings, they can see your heart. They can read your heart. They know your intentions. So understand that the Vodou, Haitian Vodou, is based on reciprocity. It's based on how your respect, how you service, how you maintain relationships with your law, the offerings, what you provide in exchange for the relationship you have with your laws. It's not about exploitation or coercion or controlling a law or using a law for simple power and simple personal gain. So it is really important to understand that as well. I think I've spoke about this before, but I want to be specifically clear that laws are not a monolith and they cannot be rigidly categorized. So I mentioned, again, there's different groups of laws, nations, which we're going to talk about at length in the next episode. They have different energies, but they are fluid, right? And they're constantly being reshaped by history, constantly being reshaped by those that continue to join the ancestral realm, right? So it's important to understand that laws are not a monolith. You may hear certain aspects of a law by a certain family, but it may be very different in your lineage. So understanding that, and I always say, because sometimes people ask, well, how do you know? Taking the time to get to know the laws in your spiritual core is the best way to know what signatures they have, what is their characteristics, and how, most importantly, they want to be served. So taking a cue from them is always important. Okay. Another thing I want to share is laws are not a backward, primitive concept. So this narrative also began during the colonial times, in that there's this idea that Vodou is a savage religion and the laws are like this primitive concept that's unknown. Actually, on the contrary, many laws that make up the Haitian Vodou pantheon are primordial divine beings of the universe. Some of these laws have been in existence since the beginning of time, some probably before the beginning of time, that as we humans know it today. Many of the laws are royal ancestors. They were royalty from Africa. Many of the other laws were transformed during the transatlantic slave trade to surface and fight alongside the enslaved Africans during the Haitian Revolution. So while colonialism tried to paint voodoo as superstition and demonic witchcraft, in reality, Haitian voodoo is a sophisticated, syncretic spiritual system that integrates African, indigenous Taino, and Catholic influences in a way that empowers its devotees, right? And so the laws represent this historical depth and sophistication. So it's important to understand that, even though, yes, Haitian voodoo as we know it surfaced at the height of the Haitian Revolution, it is a combination of multiple ethnic groups, of multiple laws and spirit and energetic spirits across various different backgrounds. So it's a very complex system. In closing, the Haitian laws represent complex archetypes, you know, and taking time to understand who the various spirits are, the different laws, understanding the different laws that may be in your family, right? So understanding your family's ancestral relationship to these spirits, or that they do have ancestral relationships, and understanding and having a command of one's own personal connection and relationship with their spirits is at the heart of Haitian voodoo theology, right? So the laws are the essence. They are the middle. When we think about Haitian voodoo, we can't talk about Haitian voodoo without talking about the laws, because they are the heartbeat of the practice of the faith. And I mentioned this before in a past episode, but I'll mention it here as a closing remark, in that one of the main goals of a voodoo practitioner is for them to learn how they can identify, harmonize, and strengthen their personal relationship with their spiritual court of laws that walk with them, right? So on that note, that is our show for today. Tune in to our next episode, where we will discuss the different pantheons of the Haitian voodoo laws. And with that, we're going to close out in prayer. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all of the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far. Thank you for encircling us with your love, your strength, and your internal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared, and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our paths. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received. All that is to be learned will unfold. And all that is shared will bear fruit in time. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa sen bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.